granted we can talk, but the Lord had to give us speech back. Yes, amen. We're thankful for the privilege of being here, the presence of everyone, and all the children who are very precious to me. I love the sound of children in service. Love the sound of their presence. They're growing and listening. And the Lord is giving us a place to be responsible, because everything we do to children, it grows with them. So we want the Lord to help us with that. Thank the Lord. I think about how faithful God is to us, and it blesses me whenever I see some of the saints' children that have taken hold of Christ for themselves, not just because their parents came. I remember one of my children shared with me. They said, "Well, I have now decided to follow Jesus." So before I was doing it out of obedience as elementary and middle school, but so now I've decided to follow Jesus. This is my testimony. And that's a great lesson. If you can pass that on to your children and to all those around you, your little ones. I love the requests that you, I don't know how many people love them, but I love the requests of the children. I felt right at home because our children put in requests. And they often will remember mommy and daddy and my brother, and remember grandmommy too. So that's so precious. They have found the power of God's divine. So if I look at you with your children, it has nothing to do with the noises they're making. I just love the sound of children, because I know that they are growing. I remember when I told them, I would sit in service with all of my children. I had five of them. And there were times tears were running down my face, because I thought, why don't they sit still? Why don't they be quiet? And I even had some people come to me and say how much they enjoy the sound of my children crying. And I thought, they've lost their minds. But I'm just like that. It's something precious about the child. I just love the sound of children crying. I remember when I was telling this story many years ago, we were in the complex there in Hesperia, and we had a neighbor who was abandoned when he was very young. And he made the statement. He said, "I notice when your children cry, they stop crying. Somebody comes and reaches out to them, and they stop crying." In other words, he didn't have anyone to wipe his tears away. And I was touched by that. We were moving out of that complex, and that young man was weeping. He was, as an adult, he was weeping. It was just something, altercation that happened. My husband looked and saw me and brought him over to our apartment. And as we were literally moving out, our living room was empty. And he was weeping because he had been accused of something he said he wasn't guilty of. And my husband said, "Well, do you want to get saved?" He said, "I don't know. I need something." And I said, "Honey, he has no clue what getting saved is. He hasn't been in church since he, I don't know if he was ever in church, but he had been abandoned at 8 years old." And so I said, "We need to break it down where he can understand it. Ask him, does he want to get close to God, or does he want God, or does he want, what does he want?" And finally he said, "Well, I need something." And my husband prayed for him to get saved, and he stopped weeping. He was like a new person. He was probably about 20 years old, I'm guessing. And I'm looking at my daughter, but she was rather young. I don't know if she remembers how old I was. I just realized how young she was. But anyway, so he got saved. And so he came, he began to confess to my husband. He said, I saw your welder on the back of your pickup truck. My husband was a journeyman welder. He said, I was trying to figure out a way I could steal that. He said, he began to confess all of his thoughts and all the things that he had been doing. And then he said, you're moving, but the mother of my child is ready to deliver. And so therefore, he said, she's ready to deliver. So therefore, I can't go down and hear what heal with you where you're moving. He said, but I'll help you. He helped us load everything in the car, in the vehicles we were moving in. And then he went and cleaned up. We had a little tiny backyard, about half as big as this space. And it looked like no one lived there. He cleaned it up so nicely. He did everything he could think of. But what I realized, when you get saved, that's what salvation will do for you. You're like a new person.
Thank the Lord.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him again. If I did, I don't know it. But this is what God has for you. But the enemy has destruction for so many of our young people. Not just young people. Anyone he can get a hold of. I have been meditating for some time. Desire the Lord to help express my burden to you. We've had such a beautiful meeting, beautiful singing. Of course, I love the singing part of the service. Not that I can sing, but I love to hear it. And something I'd like to share, I love the fact that all of you keep singing. I love the fact that my cousin Louise still sings. Yes. When God gives you a gift like that, don't stop using it. She's such an example of that. And I thought about me when I was a girl. I don't know if anyone's in here about 12, 13, or 14. It matters not. When I was a girl, I could not speak then. I hadn't had a stroke. I just couldn't talk. My tongue was tight, and I couldn't say words. And I remember trying to say words, and the Lord blessed me to be able to start speaking. I had a speech teacher that was very long-suffering, but he would give me jobs, you know, and I learned to talk. But what I want to share is that I was so shy, probably because of speech impediment. I told the Lord, if he just heal me of my speech impediment and my shyness, how much I would be glad to work for him. Well, when I did all that, I didn't know he was going to call me to the ministry. But the point is, the Lord reminded me of two things, that he had healed me back then with my speech, and he could heal me now with my speech. And he also reminded me of when my husband had a stroke. I don't know if it was a stroke, but paralysis from a virus, his paralysis. He said, I can straighten your mouth out too. Of course, some of you didn't see me when my mouth was not working. But anyway, and the Lord promised me he could do that. And since I was here, I was doing very well. It was rather exciting when I was able to get up and minister. Well, I was so excited about my progress until I started exercising, which is nothing wrong with that. But I just really overdid it so bad that I traumatized my entire left side to the point that I had excruciating pain at all times. For 6 months, I was back in a wheelchair. And I want to share this to the glory of God. And my younger sister passed, some of you know her. She passed and they asked me to do the eulogy. And I said, Lord, I just want to be able to walk out with the walker. I couldn't even walk out with the walker. I was in a wheelchair. I said, I want to be able to walk out of my front door with the walker and walk up on the platform so I can do the eulogy. I did the eulogy sitting down. My children asked me to sit down just to be safe, which is fine. I'll accept that I'm 71 and I'm getting stronger. But anyway, what I want to share is when I got ready to walk out the door on the day of the service, I walked out. Amen.
Praise God.
down. Oh God, now I can't even believe it. I had too much pain. But I said, Lord, and this was a week before that I was still in that pain. I said, Lord, just let me walk at least to our service. And I stepped out with no pain. Amen. So you ever hear me when I come out the door? I'm praising the Lord every time I come out. He's so gracious.
Yes.
And anyway, I wanted to share that testimony. You know, one saw me in the wheelchair for a year. I mean, 6 months. It was a year ago, but for 6 months. But I asked the Lord, just give me deliverance. I don't even know what the Lord did. I even tell him that. I said, I don't know what you did. I had pain in my ankle and my knee and then my hip. It was excruciating. But the Lord restored something. And we thank the Lord for that. But our burden this evening is we have so many precious children, young people, and actually mothers and fathers that the enemy is taking advantage of. And I call it the wiles. We probably have heard some of the old saints preach about the wiles of the enemy. And he is have wiles, trickery, and very cunning. And I thought, Lord, the Lord has been dealing with me with this for some time. I didn't know I was going to preach it in Fresno. But we thank the Lord that he made a way we could get here. The reason I say that, because as we were pulling out after we had worked so hard to come, I said, my Bible is on the sofa in the living room. So anyway, I came on and I'm borrowing Sister Mary's beautiful Bible. So we thank the Lord. But the point is, God is so faithful.
Yes, he is.
He restored so much to me, restored my, and so I haven't gone back to exercise, but I'm going to. But I'm asking y'all to pray that the Lord will give me sense enough not to overdo it, because it's so exciting to be able to feel like I'm getting stronger, but you don't want to overdo it. And so I want the Lord to help me to do that. But anyway, my concern is that in this time that we're living in, I thought of someone that I loved very, very much. I hadn't saw them in years. This was a long time ago. And I hadn't saw them in years. And I went to speak to them. I think we were at the campground in Pacoima. And I was so excited to see them. I wanted to know, how are you? And they said, well, I just didn't know when I went back on the Lord. I don't know the exact words. I'm paraphrasing. That the enemy would take me so fast to where he took me. And that's a statement, that's my burden. People don't realize that you're a special package when the enemy wants to take you somewhere. It's a special behavior that he takes you so fast, you don't even know what happened. And so when you think about, and this is the burden that I have for so many of our children and young people that Not just them, but whoever the enemy is saying, because this person wasn't a child, they were mature. I loved them for many years. Not a cousin, but they're so close until we're like, we call it probably sister cousins, but there's no blood between us, but they're much loved by me. And they shared that. They said, I just didn't know the devil was going to take me as fast as he did to where he took me to. We'd like to read 1 Peter. Five and eight.
It's over. You don't do it. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour.
Yes, he is. Thank you. What we don't realize is that, as I said, there's a special package that he's created to address you. Yes. And it's so vicious and so rapid, you don't even realize the enemy is taking advantage of you. You don't realize what he has in store for you. And you wonder what happened to that person. They almost don't know what happened because the enemy had a special package for them. And they said this, the enemy is seeking like a roaring lion.
Yeah.
Do we know that? I'm going to deal with several animals. Do we know the behavior of a lion? That the roar is what scares you so bad until they can do what they want. That's why it says seeking like a roaring lion. And the vibration that it creates on the earth and wherever you are, it offsets all of your thought patterns. That's why that scripture is so relevant. Seeking whom he may devour, he's looking for you.
Yes.
And I still remember, I was so impacted by her, this person saying this, said, I did not realize the enemy was going to take me so fast. This person, the reason that's relevant, they were a good person. They had a good heart. They had a sweet nature, still do. The Lord, bless them. But sometimes the enemy, when he takes you like that rapidly, you don't make a recovery, you don't come back. So you need to be aware that this can happen. And I thought about too, I was driving, I live in the country, and I was driving at this particular time, we were on the dirt road. We've since moved up and moved up and live on a paved road. But anyway, I don't mind the dirt road. That's part of why it's rather intriguing. But I was riding down from this house, a paved road, a dirt road. And then what I look up, and I think it was an eagle or a falcon. It had this rabbit in its claws. And I said, oh, I can't bear that. I know they go out and get food. And I took the car and I ran over where this bird was flying, trying to scare it to make it just let it go and let it drop. I was so desperate trying to make it lose the prey. There was nothing I did. It didn't even pause. It had every intention of taking that. That was the end of that little rabbit or whatever. I think it was a rabbit. But except the Lord have mercy, that is our lot. That's what the enemy has set up for so many. You say, I just don't want to go with all that regulations. I don't want to listen to anyone giving me instructions. I want to have my own way. I want to do this. I don't want to have to be considerate of other people. But the enemy will take you places you didn't even know he could take you.
And so
as I looked at that rabbit, I thought, you mean there's nothing I can do to save that rabbit? I just thought it was so awful. So anyway, where we live, y'all have a real zoo, because I remember going there when my husband and I were courting to the zoo here in Fresno. But we have a little, what is it called?
Animal
sanctuary down the street from us that we're so excited about. And my daughter went with a group of her students, of the students in her district. She's not a teacher anymore, but she oversaw some students. And she said there was 120 animals. But the main thing I want to address, and this supports my burden, and she said that there were, what is that? You said it was a peregrine falcon? Peregrine falcon. Maybe you all knew this. They can fly 200 miles an hour. It says the fastest animal in the world. I didn't know that. So if they're coming after something on the ground, there's no getting away from it. 200 miles an hour. Do you realize the enemy has these types of settings, whatever, to entrap persons? And so as she was telling, I said, Lord, you've been dealing with me about this, the wiles of the enemy. I said, that's the way the enemy addresses persons. Well, they said, well, I'm just going to go over here. I won't stay here long. I just want to flirt with this situation. I just want to participate a little bit in this. But if you realize that an animal has that kind of ability, what do you think the enemy has, Satan has? She said, 200 miles an hour. I said, can fly that. And then I said, well, what is that? She said, it's called the peregrine falcon. They may be in a similar family of the eagles. And I said, I thought it was an eagle. She said, no, an eagle, if it picks up prey, to take it out of the eagle's claws, I think you call them claws, aren't they? It's talons, thank you, that's it. Talons, it takes 400 pounds of pressure to open up their talons. And that was almost beyond my comprehension. But then I realized why, what this dear person said to me. I didn't know the enemy will take me as quickly as he took me to where he took me. If you realize what the enemy has at its disposal to undermine us, we wouldn't tamper. There's things we would never tamper with. We would never tamper with. We would never tamper with, even as children, lying, cheating, or stealing, or whatever. When I was a little girl, I want to say I was about 8 years old. Our bus stopped at a certain place. If we were real quick, we could jump off and run in the store. And I was hungry. And I there were cupcakes. I don't even know why I got them. I assume I was hungry, but that's an excuse that the enemy gives you because you're not that hungry. Anyway, and so I took the cupcakes and I didn't have any money to go back and pay them, nor could I even drive to pay them. And I had to wait till I was probably about 16, another 8 years, and I drove out there and asked them to forgive me for taking their cupcake and paid for the cupcake that I took. I still know what it looks like, but anyway, the point I'm saying is that in a weak moment, the enemy can drive us to a place that we never thought we would ever do that. I don't know if I ever did anything like that before or since, but that did happen. And I realized, Lord, help us. And see, there are people that they don't realize that the enemy is actually, what did we say, seeking to devour you, places that you might, they find weaknesses that you have. They're seeking your weaknesses. And so it's important that as adults, as we're living before our children, it's important that we live in a way that our children do not get caught up following our pattern, a pattern that's not righteous, because you can send them to a place that they never thought they would go. And so I don't know if anyone else, I never saw anyone steal anything. I don't even know why I did it that day. I was so beyond anything I'd ever seen done. I think I got saved 2 years later when I was 10. I was 8 years old, I believe, at that time. Thank the Lord. But the point is that too many people are being lost or entwined in such desperate places because they're not aware of the wiles of the enemy. That the wiles of the enemy are designed to destroy and to undermine. I was also thinking, remember there's a scripture over, I believe it's Luke, where Jesus said to them, go tell that fox, speaking of Herod, go tell that fox that I'm what does, where is that scripture? Let's see if I can find it. He said, go tell
13
and 30.
32.
That's it.
And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected.
Exactly. And the point is many people don't realize the wiles of the enemy and how a fox is, the nature of a fox. And I wonder why that he called them, go tell that fox. And so again, I was talking with my daughter about it. She said, do you know a fox, when they're in the wintertime, they can actually smell their prey in the snow? I said, they go. And if you ever think about it, and now it'll probably get your attention. You've probably seen pictures where they capture a fox in the winter and they jump up in the picture. They jump up and they come straight down like that. The reason they are, because they can smell the prey below the snow. And so they jump up high enough. And you know how they're made, pointy nose. And they can go straight in and get the prey through the snow. And the prey doesn't even have any clue because I'm sure they can't smell the fox that they're coming after them. That's the nature of a fox. And so he said, go tell that fox. So the reason I'm bringing up these animals, these are natures that the enemy manifests and uses to undermine persons. He said, go tell that fox. And so the fox is this enemy seeking to undermine us, and don't ever think you can outwit him, outwit Satan, because he has all these attributes of all these animals of prey that we're speaking of. These are animals of prey designed to undermine and to conquer and destroy persons that they're after. So don't ever think that you can beat the devil at his behavior. You can't. But one thing you can do is you can throw your hands up and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I didn't know I was going headed for this direction. I didn't know I was headed to be in this place. I didn't realize what I was giving into. Because when you give into things like that, you are giving into the nature of the Satan is like a fox, is like a lion, it's like a falcon, like an eagle. I just thought, Lord, have mercy. Once an eagle gets his prey, how many of us have something that can use 400-pound strength to deliver. But that's what the Lord has, is the only one that has that kind of deliverance. Because many times we're in places that there, and we look on people and we thought, Lord, have mercy on them. How can they make it? But God is the deliverer. He is the deliverer for all of the, yes, he is the deliverer of all of these situations. So it's important for us to understand that we're in a place that we can be in a place that we put ourselves in a vulnerable place. And the only way to be delivered is to beg God to have mercy. You humble yourself. That's where deliverance comes with God in almost any situation, is to humble yourself before God and say, I am desperate. I can't even save my own self. You know, the scripture points that out. You can't save your own self. You have to ask God for that. But when we understand the nature of Satan, then we realize that. And I thought, how can anyone run? You can't even run away from that peregrine falcon. You can't even run fast enough to get away from it. It's the fastest animal on earth, 200 miles an hour when it decides to fly. I guess I'm saying that correctly. I'm not crossing the road. Just want to make sure I'm not saying about the eagle. The eagle can hold 400 pounds of strength, but the peregrine falcon, when it sees its prey, it can fly toward 200 miles an hour. Do you know anything that can get out of the way? It's just the mercy of the Lord. And again, I want to reiterate what this person said. I just didn't know the devil could do that to me. This person grew up and was a good person, but then they decided, well, I'm going to take some, I'll call it adventures. I don't know what they called it. And they said, I did not know that the enemy could take me as quickly as he did. And so when we understand what challenges we're facing, we need to run for our lives. And not just ours, but the lives of our children. Because the enemy, all of us want to be acknowledged. All of us want someone to say, you're excellent, or you do things well. This is what I often tell people. I said, we all of us walk around with a sign on our back and say, acknowledge me, and say, I'm glad to see you and you're doing well. We all have signs like that. They're not written signs, but in the natural nature of human being is to be acknowledged that they have worth. But the enemy likes to take us to places that we can't get out of, and because he knows that we have that need. But this is why the scripture tells us what God created for us. That's salvation actually does all that, because the Lord gives you affirmations every day of how special you are. But the enemy tries to make you stand. What did he say? How Satan was up, he said, go up on this high mountain, you can see all the things that I can do for you. And when he says that, and you said, wow, he said, yes, I can give you all that. But that's one of his other attributes. He's a liar. Yeah, but anyway, yes, exactly. And so, but when you have that desire to be acknowledged, the enemy takes advantage of that. He takes advantage of that desire to be acknowledged. And so he gets you in places that you didn't know you would go. So it's important that you realize that the enemy is watching you, but also all your loved ones. Some of you have grandchildren, children and grandchildren. And I remember when my children were young, there was various people they grew up around, people we loved. There wasn't anything wrong with that relationship, but they would walk a certain way. And so they would imitate the way they walked. It wasn't because they were trying to make fun. That's just the way that person walked that they loved. And so I came to a realization, they're gonna have to change the way they're walking. Something has to, because they're still growing. Otherwise they're gonna be in trouble if they keep walking that way. And so I said, well, they're still growing. So I took them aside and I said, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to start walking. Don't walk like that person, because they can't help it. They're walking that way, but you can. What the reason I'm saying that goes to the way we talk to each other, how we talk to our children and all of them. I remember someone saying, I've listened at you. This is 35 years ago. I think my son just turned 35 or 36. Anyway, I know he just 35. People commented and said, I watch you with your baby, the way you talk to him. You always talk so sweet and so kind. I didn't know anyone was watching, but I felt that's the way you should talk to your children. I always did, all of them. But the point is, that same child manifests that behavior. They were imprinted from a very young age and how I communicated with them. And the same way with my husband. He was a very strong father, but he was not rude or boisterous in his communication. And the reason I'm saying that, we can send our children places that we don't want them to go. We don't want them to go because the enemy is watching. He's going to try to send you to a place that will condemn you and condemn your children. And so it's important for us to resist that. When Peter was following Jesus, he had such a desire and love for Jesus. Can you turn over? We'll read a couple of verses. And was that Matthew 26 and 34? And then we can go to John 34, I believe it is.
Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice."
That's what Jesus said to Peter, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Where is that? I think. Look up John 18 and 27.
John 18 and 27?
Yes.
Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew.
Okay, just a minute. What I'm saying is that Peter didn't realize how vulnerable he was. He just figured, oh, I don't have to do that. I'll just, in other words, he considered himself quite strong. And not only that, Peter had a strong personality. He was quite boisterous in his personality. And he was someone God could use. That's why he was in the group of the 12. But he didn't realize how vulnerable he was to the wiles, that word I want to repeat, wiles of the enemy. Wiles is a trickery that the enemy uses against us. And Peter fell victim to the wiles of the enemy. And then Peter, he wouldn't have been so bold if he thought he was going to get caught, but he did. In other words, he said, oh, no, you won't find me doing that. I won't get caught in that place. And this was when you think about what a serious place he was in when Jesus was in one of the greatest battles of his life. But yet he said, oh, no, I won't deny you. That won't happen. It's back to what my dear friend said. I just did not know the enemy could take me as quickly as he did. Peter didn't know that either. He just thought, I'm so strong and I'm so smart. And he was probably an amazing preacher. He was, I believe Peter was the one, if I'm not mistaken, that when he walked by, his shadow healed those he walked by. And so Peter didn't think there was any chance that anyone could that the enemy could trick him like that. And can we imagine what a place that was? And he said, oh, no, that won't happen to me. So we all need to be alerted and enlightened when it comes to the enemy and the wiles he can take us through.
Yes, that's so.
And the wiles he can take our children through by how we behave around our children. We don't want the enemy to use us to put them in a place to be compromised. I've told this story many, many times, but I do it because people sometimes, maybe I'm too sensitive. I didn't like any of my children beating up the other one. And I had three sons. And I said, Lord, how are we going to have one who is so tiny, you know, versus others that are so many, 5 years apart and 5 years apart. And I said, how are they going to play together? And so I asked the Lord gave me a thought, I should say. And so I would tell them, okay, y'all can wrestle. But if the youngest one says ding dong, everyone said, what is ding dong? I said, it's just the bell at the end of the match. Anyway, I said, if the youngest one says ding dong, you have to quit. And if you don't quit, then you have to deal with me. I'll join the match. But anyway, the reason I say that, because I wanted them protected, but I wanted them to understand how to care about each other. Because some people don't realize they need to create that kind of, definition between their children. and they grow up and they're bitter and go to places that they shouldn't go to. And so I never allowed them to, if he said ding dong, that was it, no matter what. And so my son said he does the same thing with his sons. He said, why do you do that? I said, I didn't want you to be hurt, but I want them to play together. I want, as brothers, I want them to learn to love each other and to understand what it meant to love each other. So I never allowed them to ever abuse each other. And so all wasn't that they didn't get into it, because they come to me with somebody crying and saying, one would say, he hit me. And the other one that supposedly did it, he'd say, oh no, I didn't hit them. I just touched them. And so I'd ask the question, did you touch them real hard? I just know how children are. They're trying to get out of that. And they say, well, maybe so. I said, well, they're crying. So what should you do, because they're crying? And the reason I say that is so important for us to respond to our children and not have them become bitter against each other. They need to love each other. And so I said, well, they're crying. So what should you do about them crying? I said, I want you to start hugging them until they stop crying. You have to hug until they stop crying, no matter what it is. And so they learned to do that. I said, you don't have a brother or sister here crying, and you can't do anything about it. Because otherwise, there are people that do grow up and become very bitter toward each other. Children that grow up in a household. And parents don't, affect it and monitor it. So you don't want the enemy taking advantage of your children and taking advantage of how you're trying to raise them, because you want to be an example of graciousness and love. And my husband and I lived that before our children, so that they could understand what that meant, to show love to each other and respect. And so I never let them get away with abusing the other child. They had to hug them. They said, you actually had to hug and kiss until they stopped crying. One of my children was recently addressing that. I said, that's correct. Because I don't believe a family should have children that are abusing the other one. Because if you're not careful, children without the Spirit of God in them, they'll gang up on another child in various ways, they'll do that. So I didn't take that for granted. It was very important to me that they got along. And so now, right now, when they come together, even if they've seen each other a month or two ago, they are talking so loud and talking nonstop. And I said, you think that you don't even see each other but once a year. Now it's getting closer to that, but that didn't happen. What the point is I worked very hard for them to learn to love each other. I taught them to example of love. I didn't want the enemy to take the wiles of the enemy to destroy the children, destroy their relationship, or destroy how they got along. And see, the enemy is going to be working on that even as your children become adults, and they have to remember what it meant to love and to be loved, and not let the wiles of the enemy take away. Because you see people, I've seen people, I said, who is that? Who is that person? I asked my daughter. I said, you mean that's who I think it is? I said, realize the wiles of the enemy have taken advantage of them. Something has destroyed something, has taken advantage of them. But the point is, we can resist that. We can. God has created an option for us to overcome situations like that. And it includes humility. What was that? I think my daughter minister, she said, peace is an action word. And I agree, absolutely. And that's why I spent so much time showing them how to love each other and how to make peace. And my husband lived that example before our children and how to make peace. One time, my husband has this great big voice. I don't even know what we were talking about, but he was excited about it. And we were in the bedroom. He was talking. And one of our children ran to the door and said, what's going on? I said, oh, daddy's just talking. Because they'd never heard their father yell for any reason at us, at me or anything. But he got excited. I don't even know what he was excited about. That's why I said, our children are looking and watching. And the enemy can take them to places. If you hadn't been an example, it'll take them to a place that they never thought they would go, and you never thought they would go. And so it's important for us to understand our natural tendencies. The enemy can take that. Remember what I said, the behavior of a peregrine falcon. He goes for a spray at 200 miles an hour. Do you think the devil has that ability? Absolutely. When he sees you give in a little bit to a place that can cause you compromise, and you wonder, well, what happened? He was looking just like that eagle, I mean, that falcon was at prey, because I can't even imagine responding to that. But the enemy is like that. He comes in and intrudes and interferes. And the scripture specifically said the lion's walking around looking. What the point is, the devil is looking at you, wondering where he can compromise your situation. Whether you're a father or a mother or whatever. I remember once we had a friend who was renting from someone, and we ended up renting from that same person. And the owners of the house was very, I guess they were very, I think the wife was rather loose with her behavior. And so she came up to the truck. My husband was in talking to him. The children, all of his children, I don't think he knew that, but they were all watching. He said, look at daddy. He ignores that people like that. He doesn't give them the time of day. They said, see, look how he's ignoring that person. And this person was known for the behavior, I believe. And so later on, the children said, Dad, did you see that woman, what she was doing? They said, what was she doing? I didn't even know. I didn't notice it. I didn't notice what she was doing. But that's how closely they were watching him. That's what I want to share. And then another time, my dear niece has passed on, but she was at the grocery store and she had a hat on. She rarely ever wear a hat. And she was saying hi, and she was waving all over the place, trying to get his attention. And he ignored her so completely. And so she said, Uncle Travis, you didn't see me? He said, oh, that was you? But the point is, somebody's watching, always watching to see how you behave. That was how he responded. And my children saw him respond that way many times. He never gave the time of day. And so they said, see how she's behaving? She doesn't know Daddy ignored people like that, which he did. And so, but again, those are wiles the enemy uses. Whether it's a husband or a wife, he uses those wiles against persons. And you have to take a stand, because again, I want you to get a visual of that peregrine falcon, 200 miles an hour to get to his prey. And the enemy sets up traps just like that to create an entrapment for the many of us. So our burden is that the Lord will help us to withstand the adversary, the wiles of the adversary. And remember that we're withstanding it for our own benefit and for all of those watching us, our children and everyone else watching. We are withstanding for them, for their sakes. And so it's so important that we consider what the Lord has, that the Lord can, is the only antidote for the wiles of the enemy. We don't have enough cranes, enough strength to withstand the enemy, but the Lord has the equipment to withstand him by his grace, by his might, and by his power. And when you're around someone that is sanctified, then you'll see the Lord's equipment in action. A sanctified person is someone to behold. Something to experience is something very precious, because that's one of the anecdotes that the Lord has created for us to withstand the enemy. We might not have any equipment that can withstand 400 pounds of strength, but the divine presence of the Lord can withstand that. And so we thank the Lord for that. And it's so important. I remember each of my children, the Lord gave me. The reason I say that, because I was told, as you know, many times that I would never have any children. I'm sorry, I'm smiling because my husband said he heard that way down in San Bernardino where he lived. Because I guess I didn't realize he was looking at me, he had his eyes on me. I didn't have my eyes on him, so I didn't know he was looking at me. But anyway, He said, I heard that you couldn't have children. He said, I finally decided children, no children. I wanted to marry Alice. So anyway, and then when we were courting, he says, you know what? No, I said that wrong. When we were courting, he said he wanted two children. But after my daughter was born, he said, you know what? I think I want five children. This is so wonderful. So I guess you have to be careful what you say. But anyway, we were so blessed. We were so thankful for all five, especially after being told we would never have any. But that's why I'm creating this picture so you can understand when the Lord provides us, deliver us children, that's something very precious. But the only antidote to protect them is divine presence of the Holy Spirit as we live before them. So we decide that the Lord will inspire us to be careful of the wiles of the enemy. And remember, he has an antidote. I can't stress it enough that we seek the divine revelation of the Holy Spirit to withstand. That's the only antidote for the wiles of the enemy.